This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
With a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. I am so happy today. I am going to be talking to somebody I actually talked to a long time ago because I'm running her interview, and this is all the way back from 2016, because today is November 30th, and it is the last day for NaNoWriMo, which is the National Novel Writing Month. And it is so exciting that 9 of my listeners have emailed me telling me that they have not only joined in Novel Writing Month, they are already finished. They got finished before the 30th, which is so exciting because I know when I did it several years ago, it was wonderful. My goddaughter, Kanisha, persuaded me to do it, and I hadn't done it before, and I did it, and I was so proud of myself, and I wrote a novel in 30 days. Well, I wrote it in 25 days because I was getting ready for Thanksgiving. And what's wonderful about it is that I was so proud of myself, and I still have the novel. Now, I haven't rewritten it yet. I haven't done anything with that particular one. But why I want to run this interview from 2016 is Nikki Drayden is an example and an inspiration because she started with NaNoWriMo. And you know, when she started writing, she was writing short stories, and she was, of course, always interested in writing. But it does give you a discipline, and you know that when you finish NaNoWriMo, wow, you've done something great and something to be proud of. Now, with Nikki, I mean, she is something really special. She went on and not only did a query letter to one of the best literary agents in the world, Donald Moss. She got an agent from the literary agency and a book deal, and she's going to tell us all about it in this interview. Later on, of course, she also was on the program when her book was finally published. So I thought I would run this interview. It's a lot of fun, and my throat is a little sore today, so I thought I'd run this. But I wanted to also say to everyone, I'm just very, 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 very proud of all everybody who is out there and you're dreaming of writing. And there is a book in you, and if you haven't started writing, you should start writing now. And you don't have to do it in a month. It might take you several months. But start now and get this book done. And you never know, you might be a guest on Joy on Paper, like exactly what happened with Nikki Drayden. So I'm going to run this interview in a few minutes. And at the end of the interview, I'm going to play two book buzzes. And both of these are really fun ones because particularly Devon Miller did one for a book about Mrs. Claus. And I love this book. And when you hear about it, you will want to get this book. There's plenty of time to order it now. We're getting into tomorrow's. Can you believe it? It's going to be December 2023. I don't know. This pandemic years took so much out of us, I think. But we're back sort of on track. And I want to tell everyone that I have a big just an absolutely fantastic lineup for 2024. And I will be talking more about that because I've got a few additions and a few changes. And I just want to thank everybody who's been emailing me recently. And I really appreciate it. But so I'm going to play this interview. And I think what you'll discover from this interview is that she not only is Nikki Drayden absolutely delightful, She's just a wonderful person. She comes across, she does a beautiful interview, which is why I want to you to listen to this. Because, you know, when you're doing an interview on radio, you really want to get your story out there. And she did it. I mean, just, it's a top-notch interview, I think, because I had lots of fun. And that's what you want to do when you're doing an interview with a radio host. You want the radio host to enjoy it as much as you do. So anyway, I'm going to run that, and then we'll run the commercials also. A special thanks to my sponsors. So Big Ed in the control room is going to go straight into the interview with Nikki Drayden.
Well, you know, my job is the greatest. After years of reading over 10,000 books in my life, I am now able to chat with many of my favorite authors and best-selling authors. But one of the real joys I have discovered over the past little over a year and a half that I've been working on this program is that I get to talk to new authors, authors who are just starting their careers, who have just coming out with their first book or have just completed it, and it's going to the editor. So it's really fun that I came across this author, and I'm so happy to welcome to the program today Nikki Drayden. Hi, Nikki, are you there?
Hi, I'm here.
Wow, you know, this is so exciting for me.
I'm excited to be here. It's really exciting for me.
Well, you know, I was looking to do a program about short story writers, and I was reading. I like short stories. I was reading short stories and reading short stories, and then I came across your short stories, and I am laughing because I just, well, the first one I read, the very first short story I read, which I still smile every time I think about it, is, well, it's so funny, the low-carb cheesecake one.
I think it was my very first published story.
Yes, I think so. I read that and I thought, oh wow, this is fantastic. I found a real gem here. And then so I started, you know, I found that short story, and then I get some more, and I think every time I'm you know, there, I think, wow, this girl is something. And I know that you know, I looked at your website, and you call yourself a little bit weird. And I was thinking, well, she's sort of quirky and adorable. That's how I think of you.
Oh, thank you.
And then I discovered that you were coming out with your, well, that you finished your first book. And
right,
so it
right.
was so exciting to discover that, because I love the short stories, and I was thinking, well, there's a lot in this girl. And then, wow, I found out that you're represented by Jennifer Jackson. Wow.
Yes.
Which we have to say, wow, 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 because
I was surprised with you.
She is from she is from Donald Moss, what can we say? One of the best literary agents in the world. And so it was so thrilling to find out that you have, you got representation, and I understand you just finished your first book, which is called The Prey of Gods.
Oh, yes, but is mostly correct. It's kind of one of those overnight success stories that took, was 10 or 12 years in the making. So, it's my first book to sell, and so I'm definitely excited to actually be at this point, because it's been a lot of years. Like, it actually took me, I wrote this book in 2009, so it's been around for a little while.
But it's always the first book that gets published.
The first book. I've written, before that, I think I've written maybe 3 books prior to that one.
Oh, I was talking to a famous author, and she was telling me that she still has like about 9 of her books in a drawer that she never got published. So it's always the first one that counts. So that the first book now it's gone to the editor, right?
Yes. I just sent out the edit yesterday, and so like I'm kind of coming down from that high of, you know, I've been working the last few weeks, you know, trying to get things perfect, as perfect as I can get them. And so now it's like,
you'll have a little bit of time before they come back to you. but it must feel so good.
Yeah, it's really, really great. And just interesting to see kind of what goes on behind the scene of and I have a lot of writer friends and see what they've gone through and kind of appreciate the things that it takes to get to that point.
So, first tell us a little bit about the premise of the book, and tell us, it's called The Prey, they're staying with that title, The Prey of the Gods.
Yeah, The Prey of Gods. It's set in a future South Africa, and it kind of features a diverse set of characters who discover they have godlike powers, and they have to kind of team up against this disenfranchised demigoddess who's kind of she wants to remake the world, but she's kind of having a hard time because, you know, she's lost all of her followers and she doesn't really have that much power. In fact, she's working at a nail salon because, like, that's how little she has left. She has just enough power to give people, like, these really cool manicures, and that's kind of where she is. And so she's come up with an idea that she wants to, you know, gain her power back, and she has a plan.
Aha! And it's a pretty good plan, I bet.
I bet.
Well, having read your short stories, which are, as I said, are absolutely delightful, you have a very quirky mind.
Thank you.
It's wonderful. I'm going to talk more about some of your short stories a little later, but I just want to talk a little bit about how, well, as you said, you wrote the book a while back. Over the years, you worked on it, I suppose, occasionally.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
It was kind of, actually, I wrote the book. I'm sure you've heard of National Novel Writing Month.
Oh, yes.
And so that's kind of where you write 50,000 words in the month of November. So that's kind of how I got started writing. So I wrote this novel, well, probably about half the novel in 30 days. And I took another year to, like, kind of finish it up and polish it and stuff. And so I started querying it, and then I got my agent probably about a year and a half later after that. And so she kind of, you know, started sending it around. And
so you got Jennifer,
really
you got Jennifer Jackson. Wait, you got Jennifer Jackson from a query letter?
I did. I cold queried her.
Wow.
Tried to write the best query letter I could.
It must have been a great query letter, because it's not easy to get through. For people who don't know, I mean, there are some agencies that are just so overwhelmed with submissions because they are so great. Because when you get to this agency, you are among the best agents in the world. And so to get through just from a query letter to Jennifer Jackson is fantastic.
Yeah, it was kind of surreal. And, like, I think, I would read the stats on her webpage about how many query letters she had, like, rejected a day. And it'd be, like, 30 queries a day.
Yes.
And then, like, you know, thousands over the course of a year. And I was like, wow, like I have no chance, basically. But, like, she asked for a partial. And I was like, oh, well, this is kind of promising. But you don't want to get your hopes, you know, up too much. And then she asked for the full, and I was like, okay.
Oh, boy.
And then, you know, you start getting nervous, and then, like, she asked for representation, and I was just like, wow, like, did that just happen? Like,
yeah, well, I think I'll let you represent me, I guess. You know. Wow, it is fantastic, because, as I said, she is such an important agent, and so it's amazing. So she then, tell us the next process. What did she start doing with the novel?
She helped me clean it up a bit, like, tighten things up, and gave me, you know, a few pages of, you know, what needed to be fixed. And so I went back and fixed all those things, and then she started sending it out, and, you know, tell you not to, like, obsess over things. You know, you start writing other stuff. And so, you know, she kind of kept me in the loop. You know, there were some kind of nibbles, but we never really got a bite on the book. And, so, like, a year passed, and 2 years passed, and 3 years passed, and then it kind of, at that point, I was like, well, you know, maybe not this book, maybe the next book. And, you know, I was working on other things at the time, so I wasn't too down about it. And then, like, last fall, she's like, well, you know, this editor has it at Harper Voyager, and he's kind of reading and interested in it. And I'm thinking, okay, you know, you don't want to get your hopes up, because I've been through the process of, you know, having an editor, like, interested in it, and suddenly you don't hear from them ever again. And so then David Pomerico at Harper Voyager called a few weeks later, and we had a really good conversation on the phone, and I liked his vision he had for the book, and he ended up calling me the next day, like, with an offer. And I was like, wow, like, it suddenly felt like things were happening very quickly after, you know, things were going so slowly. So it's just kind of been a whirlwind since then.
Well, that is exciting because, well, first of all, Harper Voyager is such a great company to work with. I mean, the people are well known to be so supportive of their writers, and so you have just landed in a perfect place for a writer.
I know. Super excited. Yeah.
You know, for a sci-fi writer, and just to be there with those people who are going to really appreciate your work and move you ahead. It has to be a dream come true for you.
Definitely. I've been working towards this for a while now.
Okay, so now what they're going to do is they're going to take some time. They'll read it, and a lot of people will read it, actually, and they'll come back to you. So I always, you know, sometimes I when I'm talking to writers, and they'll say, oh, well, you know, it's done. My book's done, ready to be published. And I say, oh, wait, just wait, just wait. But it's, I mean, the process, and I'm sure that along the way, all of the advice that you got was useful and helpful and just works to make the book better, because that's what they're trying to do.
Right. And it's good to kind of, you know, collaborate on that level to get different inputs, because people see things, you know, everybody sees things a little bit differently, and I think if you put it all together, it can make something really great.
So, how many words did it end up being?
I think this one is a little over 100,000 words.
Okay, so it's a mighty nice size book.
It is. It has, well, there's 6 point of view characters, and so you kind of like cycle through one and the next, and so they kind of all, you know, starts off with these 6 characters who really have nothing at all in common, and that in fact they just came from like character sketches that I have, like a random pile of character sketches. I'm like, I'll just stick all these people in a novel and see like where it goes, because, like, you know, I'm not big on outlining or anything, so and it was just kind of fun to see how things kind of wound together and kind of threaded the different storylines together. So,
well, I'm sure it's going, you know, just as I said, because I started off with one little short story, and I just recognized the talent. The minute I read it, I said, wow, something, this is something special. And then as I read more and more, and we're going to talk, I'm going to have to take a little break in a few minutes, but we're going to talk about, sure, about the short stories, because they are wonderful. But as I was reading, and I'm saying, oh boy, this girl is going she's going to do something here. And so I was so thrilled when I discovered that you had a book coming out. And you know, I don't know if I told you that I do have one rule when I invite new writers on my program.
What's that?
Did I tell you this rule? This is very important, and I want you to write it down. You know, have to keep it in mind, because when I find a really promising writer, one that I really, 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 really believe in, and I know this book is going to come out, and I know it's going to be a big hit, when they option it for a movie, you have to invite me to the premiere. This is a rule.
Okay?
All right. You promise?
I promise.
Okay, because I have a feeling. I mean, I would just like to make little movies out of your short stories. So I could just, you know, I'm a screenwriter, so I just want to take your little short stories and make a whole bunch of, you know, just one film out of all the short stories, because they are so fun. And so I know this, I'm sure your book is going to land up being a movie, and you have to have me at the premiere.
Super cool, yes.
Because
I promise.
I discovered you from one little short story. Now, I'm going to take a little break, and when I come back, I want to talk about the short stories, because I have a lot of listeners who are thinking about writing short stories and wonder if it's worth it, and I know you can tell them. Okay?
Okay, sounds good.
Just hold on. Okay. We'll be right back. This is Patsy with a Z, and I'm back with my guest, Nikki Drayden, who is a fantastic new writer she's been working for a while, but she's just finished her first novel, and it's going to be hot off the presses next year sometime, once they finish the editing, and Nikki will have a little bit of a time here to rest between the time that she's going to go on a book tour. Hi, Nikki.
Okay. Hi, how are you doing?
Okay, well, as I want to tell my listeners that, you know, you are, you have a day job, I guess.
I do.
You're a systems analyst, And somewhere in your busy day, you find time to write. And you're a very prolific writer. And I found you through reading, I started to read Delightfully Twisted Tales. It's a series of books that you published of short stories. Well, I just love them. So I'm going to talk about a few of them, but I want to, let me play a song for you. Let's play... Wow. What I like about your short stories a lot, I love when you make musical references because I...
Oh, yes.
Now, that one is funny.
Uh-oh, it took me a while to get that. I was like, oh, wait, I remember that now.
Yeah, the peach farmer's predicament, right?
Yes, yes.
Or how Stellar got his groove. So, wow. This book, that story is delightful, and you named your series right, Delightful Twisted Tales. How many books did you do? Seven?
I think I have maybe 8 or 9 out. I just kind of, whenever I get enough short stories, so I usually send them out for publication, and then when the rights revert back to me, I'll bundle them up and then put a new one out.
That's a cute story, the peach farmer. It's a cute story.
I did enjoy that one.
You know, again, it's your mind. You have a quirky mind.
I do. I just kind of, I got that title, Delightfully Twisted Tales, from actually a rejection note that a short story editor sent to me. He didn't take the story, but he's like, I really enjoyed it, and the story was just delightfully twisted. And I was like, oh, that kind of really, to me, it just like hit home. Like, that's exactly what I write, these delightfully twisted stories that are kind of really weird, but kind of in a nice way that make you laugh in a way that might make you a little bit uncomfortable for laughing at it. That's kind of what I was going for.
Well, they do, and it's funny. As I said, I came across it with low carb cheesecake, which I think is a fantastic little story. You do have a combination of references to food and references to music in your short stories.
I do. It's kind of like nice to put a touch for, you know, the reader to instantly relate to, especially like smells and sounds and stuff. It's an easy way to get, you know, pull people into your book, kind of not a cheap way to do it, but just kind of a little bit of texture that you need to like make the world feel a little bit more real.
Well, you do.
In an economical kind of way.
You do. And I will never eat cheesecake quite without thinking about you, which is a nice, you know, compliment. That for the rest of my life, and I love cheesecake, when I eat cheesecake, it's going to be Nikki Drayden I'm thinking about.
You know, they make regular cheesecake.
I think maybe you know, the Cheesecake Factory has to print up your little short story.
That's a good idea.
I think they should
get them any sales though.
Oh no, I don't know. People just will find it so delightful that they'll want to eat cheesecake. So you started writing. I'm sure you started writing short stories. Well, when did you start writing? Young? You were young?
I was probably, maybe, I think it was 2003 or so. Like, I was, like, out of college. Mm-hmm. It's kind of...
Okay, so
like
that's...
I started writing novels first, because, like, I never really had too much of an interest in writing. Just kind of, like, took a couple classes here and there or whatever. But I saw the ad for National Novel Writing Month, and I was like, well, that looks kind of interesting. And so, but it was, like, already, like, November, you know, 20th or whatever, and the month was almost over. So I'm like, well, I'll just do it next year. But it's kind of kept, you know, in the back of my mind, like, I can't wait a whole year before I start this. So I ended up writing my first novel in April, that following April, and wrote my first novel in 23 days. I was like, whoa. You know, I didn't even think that was something that was possible. But you just kind of keep going and do it every day, and, like, it just keeps building. And then, like, after that, I started getting some more into short stories. I didn't even know there was, like, markets for short stories. And so I would, you know, do these little short story challenges. And I mean, they don't, you know, take a lot of your time, and it's not a big investment if you write, like, a bad short story. It's like, oh, you know, it's a good way to, like, tune your skills without having to invest a lot of time in, you know, long or novel or whatever. So,
well, that's what I have been telling many of my listeners. They say, well, how should I start? I want to write. I'm not sure what to do. And I say that, you know, write a good short story, because it's not actually easy to write a good short story.
No, it is not. It is hard.
You know, but it's a way to, you start, you know, practicing, and your first short stories might not be any good, but you do learn a lot. You have to develop a discipline, and it's a good learning experience.
Yes, I enjoy it. It's like you have to be, every word has to count in a short story, whereas a novel, you can kind of get away with, you know, padding things out or kind of meandering here and there, but a short story has to be super tight.
Well, I read a funny criticism of one of your short stories. And it was on Amazon, and, you know, people will always have opinions, and so
right.
this person wrote, well, it was too short. It was too short. She just ended it. I mean, she just stopped it right there. She just ended it.
Yeah.
So I went back. But the funny thing is, I went back and I read that story again. I read it once, and then I read it twice, and I thought, well, gee, get over it. She said exactly what she wanted to say.
Yeah, this Amazon comment's kind of interesting. You get an interest. It's like, I had someone, I think they meant it not as a compliment, but they were like, this is too weird. I'm like, that's like the best compliment you can give me. It's like to say something is too weird of mine. I think they gave me like 2 stars or something.
Yeah, exactly. I think I read that one and I thought, yeah, but that's great. I mean, it is. It's weird. I mean, we will say that a few of your short stories are weird. And so we're going to play another one, which is weird, a little bit strange. Let's play both of those cuts that I play them one after another. Here's another one.
Of
song.
I'm a child of the 80s, if you hadn't noticed.
Yeah, well, I was singing, oh, wow. This story is a little bit risque, but it's called The Pudding Master and I.
Yeah.
It is so funny. It is so funny. First of all, your whole idea, I mean, the whole idea, I love it. The Anchovian President. Tell us what was the brouhaha about the Anchovian President?
I don't remember. I remember writing that story. I was a part of the Absolute Right writers group or writers community online, and they would put, you know, out every month, they put out like 4 or 5 like writing prompts, and you're supposed to do like one each month. And for that story, I just took all of the writing prompts and then put them into one story. And I don't remember what they were exactly, but it was just a bunch of random.
It's funny. And as I said, I think, you know, I always like books where they refer to food and music, because it does conjure up, you know, an atmosphere. And again, with like this short story, once one reads it, one never forgets it, which is a great testament to an author. because you know you want your work to be memorable. Many times people will read a book and they'll say, "Oh, well, I read a book about this or that. Oh yeah, they were doing here and they were going there, and but they don't remember the author. They say, I really like that book, but I can't remember the author." In your case, I mean, if somebody reads any of these stories that I just mentioned, particularly the Pudding Master and I, or the Low Carb Cheesecake, they will always remember Nikki Drayden, which is a great testament to you.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of going for. Just to, you know, put that seed in there, and then I was hoping that once I had, like, you know, a novel come out, like, I would have some people who were kind of behind me already.
Well, well, exactly, and that's the important thing that you've developed with. You have a great webpage, and you blog a great deal about
when you get a chance.
But you write, you like to write about other short story authors.
I do, yes. It's interesting just to kind of dissect other people's stories and see, you know, what other people are doing out there, and kind of have using a little bit of a critical eye to see, you know, what types of themes and what types of, you know, characters people are building, and just fun, kind of also spread the word of, you know, my fellow authors.
Well, you know, it's wonderful. Again, I've always found that authors are, you know, very supportive of each other, particularly in the same genre. So short story authors help short story authors, and sci-fi, and of course sci-fi people love helping each other.
Right.
It's really fantastic. I know I interviewed Mike Resnick, who has won like every short story, he's won every prize that you can win.
Right.
And he's so always supportive of young writers and encouraging them to get, you know, just get out there and work. And, well, you obviously have taken all of this idea to heart. You are quite prolific. You've written quite a bit. There's a nice bibliography on your webpage, which we should mention. It's nikkidrayden.com. As I said, it's a very good webpage, and you spell your name the old-fashioned way with a Y.
I see.
Yes, it's not the new-fashioned way. So it's Nicky Drayden, and it's spelled Drayden. So I just want to tell my listeners to go and look for it, nikkidrayden.com, because I like your webpage. I like what you've written there, and there's also a link to I know an interview that you did for a very nice magazine called Shimmer. And you've had quite a few of your work published there. Yeah,
I think just one.
Just one.
Shimmer. It was you had me at Rarg, which is the zombie love story, because there always has to be a zombie love story.
Oh yeah, can't live without a zombie love story. So so Shimmer is a very nice magazine, and it's one that people might look into. They do short stories. And where else do you have you had success in getting published with your short stories?
I've had a lot of success at Daily Science Fiction. I think I fit right in their target of weird and short, and I write a lot of flash fiction. So I've sold a lot of things there. I have some stuff at the Drabblecast, which I'm now editor for special anthologies. Let's see, where else? Just kind of other random places. I'm still trying to break into some of the bigger markets and stuff, but I'm sending stuff out, you know, always checking, use the submissions grinder to check my submissions to see, you know, how long they've been out, trying to manage them that way. Also, Pseudopod, there was a cute little anthology called Bikes in Space about bicycle. You had to use bicycles in space were the prompts, and I wrote a story about an alien with eight legs who decides to come to the planet Earth to compete in a triathlon. And of course, she has an advantage in the water, but like she has this like crazy monstrosity like bicycle that she has to ride. That
It's just about time for the Tour de France. She should think about it.
Right.
So, where does all this come from? Your mind. Where's your mind? Boy, does somebody ever look inside that head of yours?
They probably would be a little bit scared.
Yeah.
I guess I get inspiration. A lot of weird dreams I had, which doesn't really help my cause any, but I have a lot of weird dreams. And so usually, like, I'll have, like, some kind of spark during my dream and, you know, get up and try to remember, like, what I wrote. I've actually, like, become able to lucid dream, so I could, like, actually write short stories while I'm dreaming.
Ah.
And then I just, like, get up and write the short story when I wake up. You remember. I've done it, like, forgotten sometimes. That's not good.
Well,
but, also, just, like, walking around, you know, you might see a sign. Like, for instance, one of the characters, the nail technician at the salon, I saw a sign when I was driving around Houston that said, like, magic nails. And I was like, whoa, like, that'd be kind of cool, like, if you can get your nails done by magic. And so that kind of, like, just kind of seeing signs or...
And that led to the idea for the book. So...
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Definitely. And, but you're still continuing your day job, right?
Yeah, for the meantime, I'm just, like, plugging away. It's a real comfortable job and, you know, mentally stimulating. I think being able to get out and, you know, have an alternate source of income is kind of important, because then it frees you up to kind of write things you want to write, and you don't feel as much pressure to, you know, please other people, I guess.
Well, I spent my youth much like doing one of the things that I read you enjoy doing, and I spent, as I was telling everyone at the beginning of the program, I've read probably 10,000 books, and at least maybe 1,000 of those were read in a hammock. When I was young, I spent my every summer in a hammock on with the trees being all magical above me with their green leaves, and with me with a book in my hand.
All right. Yes, I love getting it out in the hammock. It's I don't know. It's just kind of like being comfortable outside, and like you have the nature surrounding you. And it's like I wanted to open a hammock store, or just like some kind of place where you could go, like after you take lunch, and then people could come and like lay in the hammock, like while their food digests. Like,
what?
I just love them.
Well, that sounds like a good idea. Tell your employer, hey, there's an empty room over there.
If we had an empty room, there would be a hammock in it.
Yeah, get busy. Put a few hammocks around here. It will increase productivity in the end. That's what you can tell him, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, you know, so I want to, again, tell my listeners that one of the things that I encourage them to do is to write try short stories. And what is something that you like to tell young, you know, people just starting off? Because
I would say don't be afraid to write what you don't know, because you get the advice like write what you know all the time. And for me, it's just like there's, unless you're, like, some kind of super genius or have, like, some kind of, like, technical special skill set or something, like, if you're just, like, a normal everyday person, like, there's so much stuff that's interesting out there that you might not know a whole lot about, and, like, just, you know, try to expand your, you know, horizons and, like, write about something you don't know. And, you know, there's all kinds of tools that you can get to research. And, if you visit a foreign place, you just go to Google Maps, or they have that virtual thing, I don't know what it's called, where you could, like, go around and see virtual pictures of everything, and talk to people, you know, watch movies about people. It's so easy now to write what you don't know, and you can not only grow as a writer, but you can grow as a person by writing what you don't know. That's kind of my...
And, of course, one of the great things is to read a lot. And
definitely read a lot.
Do you read a lot?
I read a moderate, maybe, like, a book a month or something. I'm not in the 10,000 book category by any stretch.
Do
so it's kind of like you have to kind of balance your time between the two. But definitely, like, reading recharges your brain, and you'll have, you know, you'll come across ideas in books also. Like, one of the sparks for this book was I read Ian McDonald's River of Gods, which is kind of set in a futuristic India. And I was like, well, what if I did the same thing in South Africa? Like, you know, you start getting all these things, they might just sit in the back of your mind for a long time, but, like, eventually they'll start coming out in your writing, and it's just really kind of a way to get to feed your own inner creativity by reading other people's creativity.
So who are some of your other favorite authors?
Neal Stephenson, he's one of my, like, all-time favorites. The first thing I read was Cryptonomicon of his, and I had one of my writer mentor friends, like, physically put his book in my hand where we were at Half Price Books and says, like, read this book. You need to read this book. He was, like, shivering so badly that I had to read this book. So I read it, and I loved it. So I've read a lot of his stuff. And for fantasy, I really like N.K. Jemisin, and, like, just, like, the worlds she builds are so rich, and, like, you just get pulled in. And I remember I read her 100,000 Kingdoms in, like, one sitting. Like, I was on vacation, so, like, it was not the end of the world. Otherwise, I would have had to call in sick or something. But it was just, like, so immersive, and, like, the characters were so real, and, like, she just jerked my emotions, like, all over the place. And I'm not really, like, very emotional kind of person. So, like, So, I don't know. Anybody who can just, like, you know, make you have these physical reactions, like, while you're reading the book, it's just, like, a great feeling.
Well, Neal Stephenson, who has Seven Eves, is
yes,
fantastic writer. I'm hoping to get him on, as a matter of fact. So,
oh, wow, that'd be great. I read Seven Eves. I feel like I had a degree in, like, orbital mechanics after I read that one. Like,
well, he creates such an amazing... I'm always so amazed at his work. It's the creativity behind it.
To write what you don't know. He can write what he knows all day long.
Exactly. It's wow. He creates an entire universe. It's, you know.
Definitely.
But I just want to say that I think it's fantastic that you know, you've gotten to this point, and I know that as I said, it's a process, and it's June now, so I would think maybe by beginning of next year your book will come out, because it is a process. As you know, some writers who are like think that you can just put it out there right away, but there's a big process involved in getting a book out. You'll
right
have
I think summer of next year is kind of when it's kind of slated for, so I have like a whole
another
year.
Yeah, you have a whole another year. And in between, you...
It's a lot of waiting, a lot of patience, and a lot of waiting.
But it's going to be a fun experience, and you'll be out there on a book tour, and it'll be amazing, and lots of fun. It'll be thrilling, and I'm hoping that... of course, you're going to come back on my program when the book is released.
Definitely.
I love to get writers on, especially on the day of the release. Because it's so exciting. It's such an exciting day. And I know, as I said, I'm going to be at the premiere of the movie. So
okay, I will save a seat for you, definitely.
Definitely. And I'm just as I said, it's always for me, you know, I talk to so many best-selling authors who have written, you know, like Robin Cook, who sold 400 million books, you know. Yeah. And it's always so impressive, and it's always so nice, because I've probably read every one of their books, you know, by the time I interview them.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a special joy of talking to an author who's just starting. And so, as I said, I was thrilled and delighted to find you, your short stories. And I just want people to, again... No, they're all available at Amazon and on your website. I think you can click through on your website.
Mm-hmm.
So it's NikkiDraden.com, and they're called Delightfully Twisted Tales, and everybody should go out and read them. The books are small, so they're not expensive, and it's well worth it. You will, I mean, I think listeners will find them just delightful. And so, as I said, Delightfully Twisted Tales by Nikki Drayden, available at Amazon and other places that sell books online, and go to her website and just enjoy it. It's so wonderful to find a book or a story that just makes you smile, that gives you a real kick, and your short stories do that, Nikki.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me on. I'm super excited that you reached out to me.
Well, I as I said, I'm thrilled. And I wanted to say also that Barnes & Noble, they're available on Barnes & Noble Library. The reason I'm saying that is the girl from Barnes & Noble is going to be coming in. I have her coming in once a month to talk about events at the store. You know, the big Harry Potter thing is coming up in July. And so she's going to be coming to see me to talk about that, but I will remind her to tell people about your Delightfully Twisted Tales, because you are delightful and quirky and adorable will be your new. they have to add that now to your to the blurb on the back of your book, quirky and adorable, because I think that's what you are. So okay, all the best success and keep writing, because you know what happens is the minute your first book comes out, they want the second book. that's the way it goes. They're already saying, okay, we want that second book. And so I'm just very, very grateful to have you on. And you just say hi to your agent for me, because I think she's fantastic. She should be very happy that she found you, because I think you're going to.
I think she's fantastic, too.
She is. She's something amazing. So anyway, thank you again. And I'm looking forward to talking to you next year when your book comes out.
All right, great.
Okay. Bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye. Thank you very much. Bye.
Okay, bye. Wow. That's Nikki Drayden. As I was saying, she's just a fantastic young writer. I'm going to take a little commercial break, and then when I come back, I want to tell you a few things about what I talked about her. Okay.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Have you ever faced disaster? The Red Cross is always there for you. The Red Cross responds to a call for help every 8 seconds. They have never turned anyone down. Now they need your financial support so that they can be ready to help you when the need arises. Donate online at redcross.org. Thank you.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more recording careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to Toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Devon Miller, author and illustrator of the Mr. Tickety Tock Clock children's book series, reporting for Joy on Paper with the latest on children's book buzz. Christmas is almost here, so you'll soon start seeing Santa Claus delivering presents to everyone around the world. But what about Mrs. Claus? What will she do while Santa is out and about? Well, you can find out in the new book called The Truth About Mrs. Claus, which was written by number one New York Times bestselling author Mina Harris and illustrated by Keisha Morris. The Truth About Mrs. Claus tells the story of Amalia the Elf, who comes from a long line of teddy bear makers. She loves everything about making teddy bears, except the bear making part. Worried about letting her family down, she decides to talk to Santa Claus for advice. Only, it's Mrs. Claus who's the one to help, who also needs a little help of her own. Coming up with the idea of the book on Christmas morning, the book was inspired by Mina's daughters asking what Mrs. Claus was doing while Santa delivered presents. It further led Mina to know why we don't know much about Mrs. Claus, and led her to thinking that Mrs. Claus could be the one running the business behind the scenes, which is just as important as Santa's job. The book also serves as a reflection for Mina Harris, as it's also reflecting her own experience of having someone like her grandmother to be an advocate for her and to encourage her in her passions. An author who stays true to herself encourages readers to do the same, while also providing a bit of Christmas magic for the holiday season. This is Devon Miller reporting for Joy on Paper. For more book buzz involving children's books and authors, head on over to radio-joyonpaper.com and click on Devon Miller's Book Buzzes. I think it's about time that I buzz out now.
Hello, fellow sci-fi readers. This is author Bria Burton reporting for Joy on Paper with your science fiction book buzz. Today's communique to galaxies near and far includes a 2022 Goodreads Choice nominee, The Mother Code, by Carol Stivers, with stellar narration by Sunila Nankani. The 2020 release is available in print, ebook, and audiobook. Now, let's download the book buzz. A virus decimates populations all over the world, and a team of U.S. military tech experts execute a plan to save humankind from extinction. Their solution involves genetically altered embryos immune to the virus and artificially intelligent mothers who can carry and deliver the babies. In the event of human extinction, these mothers must be programmed to raise the only hope for the future. A colonel's fateful misstep changes the course of humanity, and the dual timeline fast-forwards to a harsh desert region where a robot mother called Rosie raises a child who knows no mother but her. As the past and future collide, a new set of challenges emerge, a battle for human survival and the unexplored bond between a child and his AI mother. This thought-provoking and richly scientific debut novel grapples with questions of motherhood while exploring human survival in a post-pandemic world, creating a cathartic experience for readers. Author Carol Stivers received her PhD in biochemistry from the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champain and went on to postdoctoral work at Stanford University before launching a career in medical diagnostics. Her combined love of writing and her fascination with the possibilities of science brought to life her first novel. This is Bria Burton with your futuristic fiction fix, signing off.
Sometimes I feel like giving up and throwing in the towel. Sometimes I can't hardly face another day. I am assured that God will see me through. It's working for my good. It's working for my good. Sometimes the clouds hang low. I can't even see my way. I ask the question, when things will ever change for me.
TAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3.
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com. I'm Steve Kathan. Secretary of State Blinken has been shuttling in the Middle East in the effort to keep an extended ceasefire in Gaza going. CBS's Robert Berger in Jerusalem.
The feeling is that there may be one more day left to add to the ceasefire, which under the formula of 10 hostages in exchange for 30 Palestinian prisoners. But Hamas seems to be running low on women and children, which are the parameters of the current deal. So there's concern that the war may start up again in a few days.
Two Israeli women captives were released today, more expected to be freed later. CBS's Holly Williams spoke with a Hamas leader.
How many hostages do you have left in your hands that are still alive?
I don't know.
You don't know?
The number is not so important.
But what do you mean the number isn't important? People in Israel want to know whether their loved ones are still alive or not.
No, we released 70 people now. And we are continuing to release the civilians.
A gag order is now back in place for former President Trump in his New York fraud case. A court turned aside his appeal. Legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
Donald Trump has been asserting his First Amendment rights, even to disparage court personnel while the case is ongoing. But First Amendment guarantees of free speech are not unlimited.
Under a new EPA proposal, most cities would have to get moving soon to replace lead water pipes, as we hear from CBS's Linda Kenyon.
The proposal is the strongest overhaul of rules involving lead in drinking water in more than three decades. If approved, it would force most utilities to replace lead water pipes within 10 years. The EPA says it could cost $45 billion. The drinking water industry estimates it will cost as much as $60 billion.
An inflation gauge preferred by the Federal Reserve indicates